Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. I have been hoping to speak with Stephanie Postel for a long time and finally was able to make this happen. Stephanie is the owner with her husband David and chief operating officer for Anchor Heating and Air in Hollywood, South Carolina, which is basically the Charleston area. Stephanie is well known in our industry as a savvy operations person, but she didn't start her career in HVAC. She's been in several businesses before that and therefore has a great, unique perspective on our industry. She's a member of Service Nation Alliance, and she will be a featured speaker at the summit in Reno on April 16 through 18. So we'll hear all about that and more. Stephanie Postel, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited. It has been a long time coming.
You know, honestly, I think I've mentioned to you before years ago that I wanted to get you on the podcast. So I'm glad we finally made it happen and just regretful that I didn't do it a lot sooner.
I think it was at Pantheon, so I'm glad to be here.
Great. So you didn't start off in our industry. Tell us about your background and how you got into HVAC.
So I actually, my very first career was a kindergarten and first grade teacher.
Oh, I think that uniquely qualifies you for our industry.
It has served me well in many different aspects, but definitely was a love of mine. And I learned so much, and truly it is the basis of a lot of what I do today. But I taught for a little while before I had children. And then after that, I actually was a stay-at-home mom for a little bit of time, but that's good for some other people, but it was just not my jam. And so after I had my twins, I went into business for myself. I actually had a monogramming and embroidery business that I started out of my trunk in 2003. And grew that business into a retail store and was very successful with that. Had a lot of fun, met so many people, of course, in my community where I have lived my whole life. And then kind of transitioned into a whole different career. I had a very great weight loss journey that I went through. And I started working actually for my personal trainer. I had inspired lots of people to get healthy. And so he asked me to come and be a trainer with him. And actually, it was great because I also got to start doing some marketing there for him. And I did that for about 2 years. And part of what I liked about that, of course, was the coaching, but then also being able to hopefully be more available to my children. But I don't know what I was thinking there, because actually people train from 6 a.m. until 12 and from 4 to 8 at night. So I was kind of missing out on getting to see them as much as I wanted to. And it just happened that one of my clients and his wife were owners of an HVAC company here locally. And I had mentioned that I needed a change and was thinking about going back to school to get my MBA. And he offered me a job. And I honestly, at that point, did not know what heating and air conditioning was or what it did. That's way back. But then I started working at that company, really implementing best practices in the company. And of course, you know, that goes back to my teacher days. And so again, that served me well in that position. And as you're going through that line of work, basically, you're putting policies and procedures in place for a growing company. I was able to grow into the operations manager there. So started there, we were about 25 employees, about $4 million, and over 7 years grew to 75 employees and about $14 million. So definitely wow. Learned so much during that time.
So at some point you left them and you worked for another HVAC company, right?
I did. So you know what? Sometimes we outgrow places and then it's time to move on to the next spot. And that happened to me, which was really, now that I look back, I'm very grateful. And it was a godsend, because it was time for me. And then it became for David too, to move on and do something different. And we had the opportunity opportunity to start a business with an investor. You know, it sounded like a great deal at the time. And so we went all in for 2 years. Actually, we started in March of 2020, right at the beginning of COVID, and started from scratch. David in a truck and me taking calls. And then we actually were able to hire a dispatcher and grew that company very quickly. We were able to do a couple small acquisitions during that time, but we grew that company from 0 to 5 million in about 20 months. So wow. Definitely learned a lot during that time, had wonderful people, had created a great culture. And then we went our separate ways again. So there's way more to that story. But again, it's always sometimes you're not in the right place. And for us, God just decided that that's not where we needed to be. And he was really telling us that we could do this on our own. And so we parted from that company, wished them well, and literally went on to open Anchor about 2 weeks later.
Good for you. You know, that's the story of a lot of partnerships, right? They start out well and sometimes just need to go separate directions. Yeah. Not unusual at all.
Especially when you're the operators, and we had brought so many great relationships and all of that. And again, live and learn. You know, what a little bit after that whole situation and getting into Anchor, it was really one thing where when I share my story, you know, again, there's lots more to that story. But when I'm with other contractors at different events and stuff like that, I'm happy to share my story with them. And David, of course, both of us, because there's so much shame sometimes around things that happen like that. A lot of it was that we didn't know better. We didn't protect ourselves. We didn't involve lawyers the way that we should so that we were protected. But what you find out when you start talking to fellow contractors is that it happens a lot. And oh, yeah. So it makes you feel so much better, even though you feel bad, to know that it happened to other people. And that was a really big thing for us right after that happened, starting to talk to other people. And they're like, yep, I know a guy that happened to, or I know a company or it's me. It happened to me. And so I think it's so important for us all to share information together so that, you know, it doesn't have to happen, or at least you're protected when you go through a situation not like that.
Oh, yeah. It happens to so many people. I don't know how many times somebody has told me this story of, oh, yes, I and my best friend started this business because we were best friends. We really didn't have any documentation of our legal standing together or anything like that. 2 years later, we hated each other.
You know? That's right. Things like that can happen.
It happens.
You know,
yeah.
It doesn't even have to be something like that. You know, it can be family situations change or whatever it is. But again, you know, I look back, David and I are always very grateful and thankful for everything that we have. And all those lessons have taught us and brought us to where we are with Anchor. So as much as it was bad in both situations, I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah. So when did you start Anchor?
Yes. So we opened Anchor December 21st, 2021, right at the end of 21. So we celebrated in December. We had 2 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a wild 2 years, but very thankful.
So tell us about Anchor now.
Yeah. So again, we started with $2,000 that we had in the bank because we weren't expecting to be starting Anchor. So we started with and got that first job from a family member who knew that we had gone into business, and really just started from there. And, you know, we're able to eventually really get a great client base. Marketing's my thing. So I went right to marketing, and David really did everything. It was him and me. I actually had another job when we first started because, you know, somebody had to pay the bills to get going. But it was a great job where I was able to kind of work mornings, afternoons, lunchtime, that kind of stuff, because I work from home and I could, you know, pay attention to Anchor too. And then little while in, we actually brought on our daughter, my bonus daughter, David's daughter, Haley, and she started helping him do installs. We were bringing her on to work in the office, and she went out to ride along with David one time and never came back. So she's still one of our installers today. But
awesome.
It's a very, very good blessing. But we've grown really quickly. We did really well our first year because we knew what we were doing. We knew the level of business and service that we needed to provide. We priced ourselves appropriately. And once we were able to add technicians, we added experienced technicians because we just knew we didn't have the time or the money at that point to be able to not have the best service or to have a lot of callbacks. And so our first year, we were able to do $1.4 million, which Wow. was, you know, a great first year. And we were very profitable, which it was helpful because that gave us a lot of freedom going into the second year to be able to move into a space to buy more trucks. We went through the branding process with KickCharge and Dan Antonelli because we knew how we wanted to look and how we wanted to present ourselves. So yeah, I mean, we've been on a great track, kept up with the same thing through our second year, hired some amazing people, really grew our team, you know, made some mistakes, but figured it all out. We were able to finish at about $2.8 million last year. And we just did an acquisition at the end of December, and $6 million, that's what we're on track for this year.
Wow, that's awesome. I was going to ask you about acquisitions, so we need to come back to that, but good for you. That's great. So you're in business with your husband, and typically what I hear from successful companies that are run by a husband-wife team is that there's a clear delineation of responsibilities. Is that the case with the two of you?
It definitely is. There's no question. You know, obviously David has many years of experience in this trade. Having a new baby 21 years ago made him straighten up and figure out he had to have a way to pay the bills. And had some family in the industry. And so he got into it, loved it. And David is such a tradesman. He just has such a knack for perfection and the way that he does things and how efficient he is at installing. And so that was always his love. We worked together at one point, you know, obviously at when I was operations manager. And so I tell people all the time, you know, we had a different relationship before we were married. He was a installer, then became an install manager. I was an operations manager. And that was before there was any other relationship. And so we always were in those roles already. And that's helped us for sure as we then, you know, got into a situation where we were working together. And he's really in charge of our product, right? And what we provide to the homeowners. And so then it was an easy, you know, for me to get in on the business side and run the business side and do the marketing. And it doesn't mean that we don't cross jobs from time to time. We certainly do now because we make business decisions together. But it's also freeing, I think, because he has his thing and I have mine. And so I don't have to worry about those things and he doesn't have to worry about my things. But when it's time for us to make certain decisions, especially on hiring or growth or acquiring another company, it makes it a whole lot easier. And we just have a great relationship anyway. So communication is much easier for us.
Wow, what an interesting observation. So unlike most married couples that are married and then go into a business together and have to figure out that dynamic, you guys were actually the opposite. You were in business together and then got married.
That's right, for sure. Yeah. So like I said, it definitely makes it a lot easier on that side. But, you know, I think the other things I always tell people is definitely we have a great relationship. We also are, it's a little bit different for us. All of our children, of which we have five, a blended family, they're all 21 and over. And so that makes it a little bit easier too. I do coach, you know, so many other businesses or at least consult with them that I like to help out. And I always qualify the fact that, listen, you have little kids at home, your husband and wife trying to work together. Not only are you worried about just keeping your household and your family going, but there's this whole other big business thing out there. And kids change that dynamic. And so you just have to work on your relationship so much more when you work together. And we definitely still try to do that because we're the leaders at home and at business. And so when our team sees us and how we interact with each other, that can change the whole dynamic of our office. So we're very, very aware of that and how that can change things. It definitely is different when you don't have little children.
Yeah. So you mentioned that Haley's in the business with you and you've got 5 kids total. Do you have any other family in the business?
We sure do. So my son, Jack, who's also 21, he just started with us the end of last summer. We opened a duct cleaning division. And so he's actually a welder by trade, but loved just our culture and all of that kind of stuff. And so I was like, well, if you're going to come work for us, you're going to have to, make some money. So sent him to training to do duct cleaning. And so we have a duct cleaning crew and he actually does the sales for that as well. And he's learning all the HVAC side as well. So it's really been fun to have him, of course, to have Haley and watch what she's doing as a woman in the trades, not even realizing how trailblazing she is. So that's really fun. Jack is a twin. So my daughter, Ella, actually is about to graduate from Clemson University, but she works for a heating and air company in the upstate. Not only that, but our HVAC service manager, Stephanie, her daughter, Alyssa, is our dispatcher. And so when people get into the trades, they know what an opportunity is. And we're certainly all bringing the next generation right behind us.
That's great. You know, it's also a really positive sign when one of your employees wants to bring his or her kid into the business, because no parent wants to bring their kid into a bad business. Nobody wants to do that. So that speaks well for you guys.
Well, thank you. Well, culture is super important to us. I think as employees, David and I had some things where we're like, you know, when we were the employees, we liked this or didn't like that. And so I think that's really guided us as we have created Anchor and what we wanted that to look like. And so culture is huge, and it's not only about doing fun things or nice things or making sure that we're giving out gifts for this or just things that show our appreciation, but it's also about having a setup and a structure in a company so that your people know what to expect. And when our employees show up every day, they know what the deal is and what we're doing and where they're going and where they get their information and all those kinds of things. And I think sometimes as contractors and as business owners, we miss that part that really is what culture is. If you have that part, you can do all the other stuff. But if you don't have that, it's where people can be or feel chaotic and they don't know what's going on. That's where people get upset. And that's where bad culture starts, in my opinion. So I think we've been very, very well aware of that. And you're right. We love that our employees, they either want to bring on somebody that they know or like, or they're like, I'm not putting my name on that person because I know what we do here and I can vouch for them. I love that just as much.
Yeah. Absolutely. Culture is one of those really interesting things with respect to acquisitions. So you just did an acquisition. Tell me about that.
I'm probably a little bit different in this way because my culture is so important to me that I did not hire anyone at that company. It was a smaller company. So there were only, I believe, 6 people and they did have technicians. But I really felt like it was so important for us to protect what we have built that David and I just really want to handpick everybody that works here. And in an acquisition, you don't always get that opportunity. And we had been through that prior at the other company, and it just didn't work out well. And so we didn't even take them on.
But no employees made the transition from the other company into your company?
No employees made the transition.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you are basically buying a customer list and assets, probably, I guess. Is that right?
That's correct. That's it. And again, there were technicians there, but we had already created a great culture, and we had people that we knew we wanting to come work for us. And so this acquisition, while certainly we wanted to grow, we knew we couldn't grow fast enough to bring on the level of expertise that was wanting to work for us. So when we had the opportunity to buy this company, we just said, we're going to be able to bring these people on. And so we didn't bring anybody from that company.
Wow, that is an amazing story. I don't think I've heard that before. So congratulations on a couple of fronts. One, the acquisition, they're not always easy to do. And two, that you had a backlog of people who wanted to come work for you. I mean, that's fabulous.
It really is. And again, we are very blessed in that situation. One, to have brought on a service manager who has a great following and had technicians that were like, anywhere you go, I'm going. So that was a huge thing. And then again, just to have created this really great place that people want to work. And we know how important that is. You know, we pay the highest end of the scale for residential here in Charleston. We provide really great benefits and made sure, again, that we were priced right so that we could stretch to be able to provide those things, because we just knew that there was no way we would be able to attract the talent if we didn't have them. So again, I always like to qualify that we've done this for a little while. We are very focused on the things and the way that we wanted to grow the company, because we knew, not that we didn't have as much time, but we've put in a lot of time already. And so we wanted to really accelerate from zero to where we are. And we knew we had to use everything that we've done before and put that in place so that we could attract those great people.
You're speaking at the ServiceNation Summit, April 16 to 18 in Reno. And I read your topic. It's creating, implementing, and perfecting processes and procedures to produce profit. I love the alliteration in your business. Great topic for you. It's your expertise and a presentation I would not want to miss. What do most people not know about implementing processes and procedures that they should?
Well, I think one, we think people know, right? So if you sat down to interview me about all of the experienced people that I brought on in my business, you would think, well, that must have been easy because everybody that you brought on already knows everything. Well, they do. They know their way. So I think the biggest thing is that we think people know and they don't. We think people think like us and they don't. And we think people just want to do and sometimes they don't. So it's very important to have a really great vision of what you expect in your company. And it's a very important thing to have a great onboarding and a reboarding process for your people, because then that way we're all singing from the same hymnal, right? We're all on the same page about what the expectation is, what the experience is going to look like. And I think a lot of times we really miss on that. I told you once and then you don't do it. So I'm mad at you and we're not performing and it must be your fault. And as contractors, I think we need to take more personal responsibility. I have so many people say, oh, I can't believe it. This is always babysitting. Why do I have to babysit everybody? Well, it's not babysitting. It's probably that you didn't explain clearly what the expectation is. Or you did it once, you know, 14 months ago, and you've added 6 people or 10 people since then, or Johnny wasn't here that day, so he didn't even get the message firsthand. And so when there's really no way for people to look back or find a way to be able to be retrained, it's really our responsibility to make sure that they can do that.
It's not babysitting. It's kindergarten.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And of course, if you attend my session, which is very interactive and not boring, so please make sure that you come. But it is definitely one thing that I tell people, you know, you may or may not realize, but when your kids go to kindergarten, they don't learn how to read and write the first day of school. They go there and they learn how to sit crisscross applesauce, hands in your lap. They learn how to walk down the hall. They learn how to get their tray in the lunchroom and wait and get their food. And they sit quietly at lunch and, you know, they don't get to talk until after they're finished eating. And there's a reason that there is that structure. Because I had some great mentors that were like, listen, you cannot teach these kids anything until they know the expectation. They know how to interact with a group appropriately. And then we can teach them everything. And so taking that mindset has really helped us a ton. It doesn't mean we're great at it all the time, but it gives us a basis to say, listen, this is how we do it. No matter how you've done it. This is how we do it. Here's the expectation. And then we'll teach you, we'll reteach you, we'll test you, we'll see what you know, and then we'll teach you again. So having that mindset has really been helpful for us.
You said something interesting earlier. You said onboarding, and then you said reboarding. What does that mean?
Well, it's just really going through our onboarding includes, you know, of course, learning your job, riding along. I think we have one situation where we actually put a technician in a truck on the first day and said, go to it. It was a very specialized reason that we did that. More often than not, even our experienced technicians are riding along for a couple of weeks to make sure that they know what the expectation is and what the anchor way is. They also are sitting in the call center to understand how the calls come in, how they're dispatched, what that looks like so that they can develop an appreciation for the fact that the ladies that answer the phone are the ones that actually make sure that they have work to do. So that, again, creates great culture. And then sometimes we have to go back and redo all of that or reteach all of that. Because things change. Of course, as we've grown and when you grow exponentially, the things that got you there won't get you to the next level. And so even in the last 3 months, we have really found ourselves going back over different processes or really, and what we'll talk about in my session is maybe creating processes that you didn't need before because one person was doing all of that. And you had the process, but you didn't have to tell anybody about it because you were the one doing it. And so then once you double your company, all of a sudden, like all that's got to get out of your head and onto a piece of paper. And so we definitely have found ourselves having to do that more recently. But that's what continuous improvement is. That's how companies get leaner. They get better. They get more profitable. And it's definitely worked for us. And that's what I'm hoping to share with the people that come to my session.
It's going to be a great session. Sounds terrific.
Definitely.
So you and David go to a lot of industry events. And it's always surprised me. There's a lot of contractors who rarely attend for one reason or another. What are they missing out on? Why do you guys attend?
I would say, you know, those are our people. Those are our friends. And the thing about this industry is it's tough and it can make you feel like a silo, like nobody can understand what I'm going through, how I'm growing this business, the people, the insurance, the trying to get jobs, the slowdown, all of that stuff. And so I think that the biggest thing for us was going to conferences at the beginning. And like I shared earlier, it's just the camaraderie. It's somebody telling you their story and you going, oh man, I just felt that same way too. And we just have found such a network in going to these events, not to mention all the amazing information that we learn. And I always tell people too, sometimes we don't go learn something new. Sometimes we learn something not to do. Sometimes sure. We're able to look at our own company and go, dang, we pretty much already got that figured out. So we're winning there. But I think that's the biggest part for us is we love the classes, but we love the after hours sitting at the restaurant or sitting in the bar and going over what we're doing and what somebody else is doing. And we just get so much out of that and so many different perspectives too. Well, definitely has helped us grow our business. There's no question. We have some really great friends in the industry.
Yeah, it is a great industry for sharing and working with other people. A common problem in our industry is finding great people to work with in our businesses. Has anything worked really well for you guys?
As far as hiring, is that what you're
referring to? Yeah, finding great people to work in the business. Yeah.
Yeah, I think kind of going back to what we talked about earlier, looking at ourselves and making sure that we are a great place that people would want to work. How do we respect people? How do we onboard them? What are the benefits and perks that we provide as part of our benefits package? So I think that's been a great thing for us. I know we may have plans for us to talk about it, but we do a lot of social media. And because we do that, I think that we're able to really put out there who we are. And I tell everyone, I think that it's giving people the chance to date you before they have to marry you. It's maybe our version of Bumble or whatever those Christian Mingle or whatever it is, you know, yeah. Plenty of Fish. They kind of get to look at us and see if they might want to be part of this culture. And it's funny that we're having this conversation because we are actually, well, this will be the second time, but we are actually about to hire a comfort consultant. And someone just applied that actually someone tagged me in one of the Facebook groups because they knew we were looking for someone. And this person has been following us on social media for months. And I knew the name of the guy by his social media handle, but I didn't know his real name. And he said, I just applied. You'll know me as this name on TikTok. And I was like, yes, I do. So we're actually interviewing him this afternoon.
That's awesome.
So it's pretty cool. If you're not on those platforms, you should be. Get over yourself and not wanting to be in front of the camera. It's what people who want to work for you and it's what people who want to work with you want to see. And that's been definitely a game changer. Again, it's the second time this has happened. We hired a technician last year who had been following us on TikTok for about 6 months.
Wow. That's amazing. Great stories. So when you are talking about yourself and what kind of place you are to work on TikTok or Facebook or wherever it is, how do you position yourself? What are you telling potential employees about what it's like to work with you guys?
Well, you know, I think it's just showing what we do every day. It's showing our great uniforms and our great trucks and our company breakfasts and the training that we provide. You know, something as simple as we have a snack shelf in our break room and we provide lots of snacks for everybody. And David videoed me packing the snack shelf and talking about why we do it. You're getting the behind the scenes. When has that ever happened, right? That you would get a behind the scenes of what you have in your break room and why. So I think it doesn't have to be formal. It's not like, hi, I'm Stephanie, and here's all the great benefits that we provide, right? It's more showing that in action and the fun things that we do. How do we give back to them? Showing them what we do in the community. We have a nonprofit where we give away heating and air conditioning to people, and we pay, of course, our technicians and our installers to go do that. And that's our give back. So that's who we are. So now you know the kind of people that we are. Go talk to my people that work here and see if they like it or not. But you can see it on their faces that they're enjoying where they are, that they feel appreciated. And so it's no different than what we do with homeowners, where we're trying to clear objections that they might have from working with us before they even have the objection. I think that's really how we try to meet our new employees or new teammates where they are and kind of clear some of those objections before they even have the first interview.
Very good. Great advice. Looking out into the future, where do you want Anchor to be in, say, 5 years?
I always have to think about that one, Dave.
The five-year plan is always a difficult question, I know.
It is, but you know, we're going to be here and we're going to be Anchor. We really believe that this is what we want to be doing. And so I'm not sure about, you know, how our roles will look in the business. David loves working on our business and loves the training aspect of bringing new people into the industry. And that's really always been a great mission of his. I love the marketing side. I don't love the payroll every week. So I'm trying to move some of those things off my plate as we grow. So I know that we will still be an integral part of this business. We don't have any plans to sell our business currently because we have kids that are in it. And I think that, you know, we see the opportunity for them and currently they do. So things change. I think we could always say, you know, I could throw out a number of the millions that I want to be at as far as revenue. But I think a more important thing is to say that I want us to be really profitable. So we can be a smaller company, but really profitable as opposed to a large company that's not. We're not a nonprofit around here. We have currently 18 families that we are supporting, and that will continue to grow. And I want to be able to provide them lots of other different things. I want them to have tons of opportunities so that they can buy houses and buy cars and, you know, take care of grandkids and send kids to college and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's would still be to say that we're a great place to work and our employees and team members can look and say, like, I don't want to go anywhere else. You know, we're doing all the good things that we need to be doing, and everybody still sees the vision and wants to keep showing up every day to do that.
Well said. So we may have already covered this question, but how would you describe your philosophy for running a great business?
Well, I think it has definitely, you know, we serve God. So that makes a lot of what we're doing, gives us a lot of focus. And that is a huge thing for us. But I think then we're also very employee focused as well. So we know that if we take care of them, that they're going to take care of our customers. And so having a very clear mission, having a very clear vision and core values, when we can answer yes to all these questions, then it makes whatever the next thing to come much easier to know. That's always been the biggest thing for us, is it's all about the people that show up here every day and do, you know, what we need them to do to provide great service. And as long as we hold that standard, then I think that we'll always be looked at as having a great, great business. There's so many people, which I love, that call us for a maintenance or to do business with us. They don't even know why they need heating and air conditioning. They just heard they were supposed to work with us. And so that's really a great compliment to us, of course.
That's great. Well, Stephanie Postel, thank you so much for doing this with me. It's been a great conversation. And I think if anybody has an opportunity to go hear you in Reno, they should do it. That's going to be a terrific presentation. So thanks a lot.
Well, thank you very much. Obviously, I always appreciate the opportunity to talk about our people and our business. And we just appreciate Service Nation and the way that we've been supported through our business from the beginning. So I'm looking forward to Reno. I've never been there before. So we're going to have a good time and hopefully inspire some people to improve their businesses.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hi, this is David again. Three quick notes. One, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. Two, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. Three, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening and thanks for your support.